ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो सेवन कैंटो द साइंस ऑफ गॉड Chapter 15, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, and it's text 48, 49, 50, and 51. So we're going to read the Sanskrit of 50 with the word for word, and then we'll go back and read 48, 49, 50, 51, and the purport. Dravya Shukshma Vipaka Cha Dhuma Gatri Apakshaya Ayanam Dakshinam Soma Dasha Ashadi Vihudha Dravya Shukshma Vipakascha Dhumo Gatri Apakshaya Ayanam Dakshinam Somo Dasha Oshadhi Viudha Dravya Shukshma Vipaka. The paraphernalia offered as oblations in the fire, such as food grains mixed with ghee. Cha and Dhuma turn to smoke. O the demigod in charge of smoke. Ratri, the demigod in charge of night. Apakshaya, in the dark fortnight of the moon. Ayanam, the demigod in charge of the passing of the sun. Dakshinam, in the southern zone. Soma, the moon. Dasha, returning. Oshadhi, plant life on the surface of the earth. Virudha, vegetation in general. So I'm going back to 48, 49 texts, and then we'll go to 50, 51. The ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices known as Agni Hotra, Yagya, Dasha Yagya, Purnamasa Yagya, Chaturmasya Yagya, Pasu Yagya, Soma Yagya are all symptomized by the killing of animals and the burning of many valuables, especially food grains, all for the fulfillment of material desires and the creation of anxiety. Fulfillment of material desires and the creation of anxiety. Performing such sacrifices, worshipping Vajvadev and performing the ceremony of Bali Harana, which all supposedly constitute the goal of life, as well as constructing temples for the demigods, building resting houses and gardens, digging wells for distribution of water, establishing booths for the distribution of food, and performing activities for public welfare, these are all symptomized by attachment of material desires. 50-51 text. No pillow. My dear King Yudhishthira, when oblation of ghee and food grains like barley and sesame I offered in sacrifice, they turn into celestial smoke, which carries one to successively higher planetary system like the kingdom of Duma, Ratri, Krishna Paksha, Dakshinam, and ultimately the moon. Then, however, the performers of sacrifice descend again to earth to become herbs, creepers, vegetables, and food grains. These are eaten by different living entities and turn into semen, which is injected into female bodies Thus one takes birth again and again. Purport. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Tetam Bhuva Swaka Lokam Vishalam, Shinipunya Matya Lokam Vishanti, Evam Trayi Dhaman Anupapana, Gatagatam Kama Kama Lambante. When those who follow the Pavriti Mag, you remember the verse before was the description of Niviti and Pavriti Mag. So when those follows the Pavriti Mag have enjoyed in heavenly sense pleasure, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, through the Vedic principle, they achieve only flickering happiness. Following the Pavriti Mag, the living entity who desires to be promoted to the higher planetary system performs sacrifices regularly. And how he goes up and comes down again is described here in Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as in Bhagavad Gita. It is also said, Triguna Vishaya Veda. The Vedas deal mainly with the three modes of material nature. The Vedas, especially three Vedas, namely Shama, Yajur, and Rig, vividly describe the process of ascending to the higher planets and returning. But Krishna advises Arjuna, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, and as Trigunya Bhavarjuna, one has to transcend these three modes of material nature, and then one will be released from the cycle of birth and death. Otherwise, although one may be promoted to a higher plane system such as Chanda Loka, one must again come down. Shine Punye Matya Lokam Vishanti. After one enjoyment due to pious activities is finished, one must return to this planet in rainfall and first take birth as a plant or a creeper, which is eaten by various animals, including human beings, and turned to semen. This semen is injected into the female body, and thus the living entity takes birth. Those who return to earth in this way take birth especially in higher families like those of brahmanas. It may be remarked in this connection that even the modern so-called scientists who are going up to the moon, they're not able to stay there, but are returning to their laboratories. Therefore, whether one goes to the moon by modern mechanical arrangements or by performing pious activities, one must return to earth. That is clearly stated in this verse and explained in Bhagavad Gita. Even if one goes to the higher plane system, Yanti Deva Vrata Devam, one's place there is not secure. One must return to Matya Loka, the planet of death. Abhama Bhuvanal Loka Puna Avartina Juna. Aside from the moon, even if one goes to Bhama Loka, one must return. Yam Prapya Nanivartante Tadhama Pramam Mama. But if one goes back home, back to Godhead, he need not return to this material world. Amagyana Timandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshumitam Jena. Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manuvishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Datati Swaparantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanshakal Patrubhyacha Kripasinyubhyayivacha Patitanam Pavanivyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Chinamini Namaste Saswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pachatete Shtarine. So up, down, up, down. So if you look at it from a perspective of spiritual inhabitants, then he's thinking that these people are really nuts because they're going up, they're going down, they're going up, they're going down. Prabhupada explains that Maya is kicking in the face of the materialist, and the materialist is saying, give me more, give me more. So from a materialistic perspective, it seems very interesting, very enjoyable. But if someone looks from a higher perspective, it looks insanity. Maya has two potencies. The first potency, it projects you into Maya. And the second one, it holds you. So after 1 billion lifetimes, it's not working. One should think that you come to the realization that Maya is not very interesting. But Maya is very smart. She said, it's not me. My environment is very good. It's just you did not try the right thing. So you try 1 billion one more time, but in this way. And then next time it doesn't work, 1 billion two times. So we're always thinking, yes, it's not working. So this is called unconsciousness, totally unconscious. Maya is always keeping us unconscious. Unless you're unconscious, how you can follow Maya? Like for example, there was a discussion between Prabhupada and this Cardinal Danielou. He's a French cardinal. So Yogeshwar was translating, and Prabhupada said in the Bible, they say you shall not kill. He said, we don't kill. Animals have no soul. So if you think the animal has no soul, it's easy to eat the animal. It's just an animal. It's just a stone. It's nothing. It's an object. Like you have all these different organizations in the West for protection for animals, but they don't protect the cow. They protect the dogs and they protect the cats. And then you see on the television these poor cats and these poor dogs, they're nearly ready to cry, please protect them. So why are we protecting cats and dogs? Because we have a relationship. This unconsciousness means impersonalism. Impersonalism doesn't mean just mayavadi. It means to not be personal. Like for example, I had a co-worker, she had a cow. She used to eat cow, but not her cow, because she had a relationship with her cow. If you look at the eyes of the cow, you see how the cow looks at you. How can you kill the cow? How can you cut the throat? But if you become unconscious of the personality of the cow, then it is very easy. Like for example, they used to say during slavery days that black people have no soul. Oh, it's very easy then. If the person has no soul, then just kill it, use it. It has no soul. So that's the reason. How do we do it? What do Americans do during the Iraqi war? Oh, the terrorists. They're going to threaten our way of life. They're just like animals. They're not human beings. Then the Americans say, yeah, go to war and kill them. But then what happened is during the media captured different discussion or different interviews of Iraqi women crying for their children. And when the American public saw this, they became soft for the Iraqis because they became personal. They saw there was a living entity, there was life. There was living entity. People would say, a woman, no intelligence. Oh, obviously, we can abuse them. Oh, this is just a child. Just use him, no problem, he's just a kid. So this is how we stigmatize things. Like if there's, you know, apartheid is when you try to destroy nations. So how do they do it? They say these people have no intelligence, they're trying to destroy us. They stigmatize in an impersonal way, there's no personality. Like for example, if someone wants to kill, you have an assassin who wants to kill someone. He's not going to ask, what's your name? What do you do in life? Because if he does this, he's going to become so attached to that person, he won't be able to kill it. People say God has no hands, he has no arms, he has no hands. So God, okay, we can step on him. But if you see the universal form of Krishna, all these prayers from Dhruva, Pallad, Gajendra, what do? They realize the greatness of Krishna. Arjuna was saying, oh my gosh, we were playing like friends and you are like Krishna, the Supreme Person. I feel so bad. So when you come to that realization, you become personal and then Maya can't touch you anymore because you personalize things. This is the impersonalist concept, the unconscious concept. Because here, it shows the living entity is going up, is going down, is going up, is going down. How can you do this? It's ridiculous if you think about it. So even when we become devotees, Maya, the mind keeps us in an unconscious state. Obviously we joined. So the mind in the beginning is thinking, oh, you joined, looks pretty good. But then it's thinking, I don't think we should stay. But the mind already said yes. It's like, for example, in Vaishnava K, you know this book from Bhaktisiddhanta, there's an example, and Japataka Maharaj gave the example that you're telling someone, I'm going to help you to do something. And then you're thinking about it, and you say, no, I don't want to help anymore. But you can't just come out and say, I'm not going to help you. So you say, you know last time you spoke to me badly? Because of this, I'm not going to help you. So the mind is thinking, look, this devotee is fat, this senior devotee is not coming to class. So finding always reasons. So the mind is not saying, I'm going to come out. No, it's giving certain reasons to try to come out. So when the mind sees that definitely you're not going to come out of Krishna consciousness, like my mother, after 10 years she figured out I'm not going to bloop. She accepted it. So the mind is accepting, but it's saying, okay, do little Hare Krishna, do little class, but at the same time, don't become too serious. So this unconsciousness within devotee life is still there. Because if we were fully conscious, we would be pure devotees. Like for example, the father. Prabhupada explains that the rich father has his son. And the son left the house. So the father is crying for the son. And the house, the son has so many facilities, a nice bed, so much nice food, maids. But he's becoming a hippie. He's living and begging on the street. So what is the pain that the father has? Such an incredible pain. He's suffering more than the son. So Prabhupada explained that Krishna is suffering more than us because he's feeling for us. So if we become conscious of Krishna's pain, how can we do all these things? How can we cheat Krishna? It's not possible. The devotee does not want to do anything that will separate his relationship with Krishna. He doesn't want to do something that is going to break his relationship. Because he's conscious, my relationship with Krishna is a wonderful relationship. So when we, for example, Lord Shiva was covered by the yoga maya. He said, I want to see your form. And Krishna said, are you sure? He said, yeah, I could do anything, I'm Lord Shiva. So what happened? He got covered. And at that time, he had no consciousness. He didn't care what it was. He was naked, running around the sages. He lost semen in front of everyone. No problem, because he was so attracted by Mohini. But then when his lust came down, spiritual lust came down, then he became aware of everything. So Prabhupada explains that when we enjoy, we forget. But when the enjoyment is done, then we start realizing it wasn't worth it. But then it starts again, because our memory is very short term. Krishna tells Arjuna that me, you, all these kings, never was there a time I did not exist, you did not exist, and now there's a time we will never exist, will always exist. But the difference between me and you is I remember and you don't remember. We can't even remember what happened yesterday. But if we were conscious of all the activities we did in a billion lifetimes, we would be crawling into a hole. We would be like, my gosh, I did all these things in so many lifetimes. But the unconsciousness is there. That's what keeps us in material existence. And that is impersonalism. How do the government keep the people under control? Give them little social insurance, give them little food, little facilities. During the Roman Empire, they would do, you know, circus games. Everyone had games. They were so happy. The government is so nice. But at the same time, the government is not nice, but they're covering them by giving them facilities. So that's what Maya does. She gives little enjoyment just so we can continue and say, hey, I'm not so bad after all. And you say, yeah, it's pretty good. Let's continue. Let's go on. So this is unconscious. We're going up, we're going down, we're going up, we're going down, and we're thinking everything's okay. So that's why when we come to class, we go to Mangalati, we associate with devotees, we become conscious. But the problem is when we stop that association because we're not that advanced, we lose consciousness, and at that time Maya takes over from us. So we have to some way or another be able to always be maintained in devotee association, the chanting and these different activities, so we can maintain this and remain conscious. Now when we come to the point of spiritual enjoyment, there'll be no problem. Because the spiritual pleasure will be stronger than the material pleasure. And when you see, it's like, for example, a child plays with toys, like the merry-go-round. My daughter loves the merry-go-round. I cannot go on the merry-go-round anymore. I used to. Because the enjoyment I had as a kid don't attract me anymore as an adult. I don't play with cars anymore. My children play with cars because it has changed. So when we come to the spiritual platform, all the material activities, there's no attraction. You don't even have to make an effort. It's just not attractive anymore. Prabhupada says that the living entity, the pure devotee, spits on the thought of sex life. But if you tell this to a materialist, the materialist would think, wow, that's pretty advanced. How can you do that? It's like, for example, you're joining Krishna consciousness. Why? Or you ate. You're eating something. And you get sick. You have an indigestion. Do you want to eat again? You don't want to eat again. Someone's saying, wow, you're not eating. You're pretty advanced. I can't eat. I have an indigestion. So when we join, a lot of times we have a material indigestion. There's four types of people who come. But a lot of times we're kind of tired of material life. So we have indigestion. And then it's like we give up, we so advance. But then gradually as the indigestion goes away, the taste comes back. And we want to start eating again. So unless we develop knowledge and become conscious of what we're actually doing, take a serious decision that yes, I came, I didn't want to eat anymore, I want to eat again, but that's not the path, then we go back. So many people, they come and they go. It's all based on a question of being conscious of things, of being personal. The devotee is very thoughtful, he's conscious, he's personal. Prabhupada's relationship was so personal. That's why people were so attracted to Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada was so kind, he took care. Bhavananda Prabhu in one of his memories says that he was sick during the time that Prabhupada was, you know, on his deathbed. So So then Prabhupada, when he saw Brahmananda, he said, I didn't see you for many days. What happened? He says, oh, I was a little sick. And Prabhupada was so concerned for him. He's like on the bed, ready to leave his body, but he's so concerned about Brahmananda Prabhu. That is personalism. And that is Krishna's personalism. I was distributing books, and there was the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna and Arjuna, and this Muslim man tells me, that is not God. I said, why? He said, because he has a mouth. So if he has a mouth, he has to eat. And if he eats, he passes stool, so it's not God. So that's impersonalism, because I'm thinking God is like me. But if we realize the greatness of Krishna, if we realize the greatness of Krishna consciousness, Maya cannot touch us. The problem is the in-between times. Now we're realizing, we're in front of the deities, we're associating, but we go out to the city, we go to the work, we go do things, and then, we start being covered, and Maya starts preaching, and we become unconscious, we become numb. The mind makes us numb, and personally makes us numb. How can you kill people? How can you destroy? It's like, if I go on the altar, I don't know how to dress, let's say, but if someone tells me the deity is like a person, then I know how to dress the deity. I know how to put pants, dhoti, I know how to put shirt. It's a person, I put it on myself. Because you see, this is a person, and I treat that person as a person. But the tendency of Maya is to make us impersonal. And impersonal means that we care only about ourselves. You know, there's many passages in the Bhagavatam where Prabhupada says that the soul is even envious of itself. Do you understand that concept? Envious of ourselves. We know what is good for us, we won't give it to us. And in one conversation, Prabhupada said that if this man has a human birth and becomes a dog in his next life, he was envious of himself. He had the chance to be upgraded to a higher position, but he degraded himself. He became a dog. That is envy. So Maya has this tendency to keep us very strongly. Like, you know that story of Liquid Beauty. This prince was so attracted by this princess. It came out in the back to Godhead in the beginning. So he came to that princess and wanted to have a relationship. She said, come back in 1 week and see me. So she took all these purgatives, she threw everything in a bucket, and when the prince came to see her, she didn't look like the same person. So he asked, where is that beautiful, you know, princess? He says, come, I'll show you. And then he showed this barrel with all these different liquids. So then he became conscious. When you become conscious and you're thinking, no, I don't want to do this. If you open the body and you see everything under the body, how can there be attraction? So you have to be unconscious to enjoy material life. Because if you're not unconscious, how will you enjoy it if you realize that actually it's just full of stool and urine and blood? When someone cheats on another person, you have to be unconscious, not realize the feeling that that person will have when it understands that you cheated that person. When you come in front of that person and that person is crying and suffering, then you feel bad. You become conscious. I created pain. But if you had realized this during the moment that you were doing it, you would not have done it because you become conscious. So this up and down thing that is explained here is due to unconsciousness, always thinking that I will find that special place. But it's not there. But unless we become conscious about it, we won't be able to do anything. So in the beginning we join, we become conscious. Now the problem after that is when we join, we keep some unconsciousness. We have a little bit unconscious, a little bit conscious. We don't want to go too far. So the mind is very expert in keeping us in a state of semi-unconsciousness. So that's why we always have to take advantage of the temple programs, the temple association, reading the books, chanting all the time. Then we could come out. But unless we're conscious that we have a problem, it's like when you have a disease, you go to the doctor. But if you don't go to the doctor thinking, I'm going to deal with myself, then how are you going to get cured? So first we have to understand, yes, even as a devotee, I have a problem. I'm not fully devoting my life to Krishna consciousness. I'm still keeping a little side on the side like that. So this is where this up and down. We don't have to be devotees. No one's telling us we have to be devotees. No one's forcing it. It's not Krishna's putting a gun to the head and saying, you become a devotee. If Krishna did this, it wouldn't be love. It would be force. So Krishna is so kind, Krishna has so much no envy that he doesn't care if we take a position of power. Obviously in the spiritual world you cannot be Krishna because there's only one Krishna. So he creates a world for us. You want to enjoy? No problem. Go and enjoy. The envious people would say, no, I'm going to crush you down. And Krishna has so much love, so much kindness in their heart. He says, okay, listen, You can't do it at home, but I'll make you a little home. You can try to do it, and then when you're ready, you can come back. Is that okay? Okay, that's fine. And the living entity thinking, I just don't like this Krishna, because this Krishna is what I want to be. So we're enjoying, and Krishna's trying to send the sadhus, send the scriptures, come himself, try to wake us up, bring us back, it's not working. So we're going up and down, and gradually Krishna's making us conscious, more conscious. And then we realize, this is not going to work out. And then we come, and we become serious in Krishna consciousness. So that's one direction of the verse that I took today. Do you have any questions or comments? You don't have in mind? Oh. Okay. You don't have the mic, it's not working? Oh. Louder. Oh, it's a different suffering. It's like Prabhupada says that the gopis, when they were trying to stop the chariot from Krishna going back to Mathura, they were suffering. But actually this suffering is enjoyment, but they do not understand. So obviously it's a different level. But obviously Krishna has a relationship, and he created us for his enjoyment, and we said, bye-bye, see you later. So he's thinking, and he's feeling these living entities, like this pure devotee, he cries. Huh? He cries for the living entity, he's suffering. Paradukaduki, suffering on the suffering of others. But the kami is parasukaduki, someone suffering, jai. They're suffering, that means I will enjoy. So the pure devotee is crying, Prabhupada is crying. It doesn't mean he's not on the spiritual platform. Now that service attitude is ecstasy for him. But he's suffering for the living entity, obviously. And Krishna is also suffering. And that's why you become so dear to Krishna when you preach. When you preach is my glory, is very dear to me. Because you have understood Krishna's greatest pain, greatest desire to bring everyone back. And you are becoming the instrument of Krishna to bring back these living entities. So Krishna becomes very happy. Tapasya means to give up voluntarily a position of enjoyment for a higher cause. And it's very clear, it's voluntary renunciation. No one's forcing us. It's voluntarily, I said, I'm not going to do that because that's going to help me. It's like the student is thinking, I want to graduate, so I'm going to study for 3 years. I'm not going to go to the bars. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do all these things. I'm just going to work like an animal so I graduate. This is not tapasya because it's material. It's a sacrifice, but it's a voluntary sacrifice. I'm sacrificing my enjoyment so I can become a PhD, I can become a doctor, I can make money. So we voluntarily sacrifice. So we understand Krishna's pain. Prabhupada came to America, he sacrificed the Radha Damodar temple. He could have stayed there, old age, he came, suffered so much, there was so much tribulations. Our gurus, our senior devotees, they also sacrificed. And because they sacrificed, we there. And we sacrificed, and other people will be here. So that sacrifice is transcendental, and that feeling is a transcendental feeling. It's not a material feeling. It makes sense? Maharaj, you want to say something? Yes, Mataji, throw the mic. At the back, you stand up.
Oh,
sorry.
What you learned about the spiritual lesson, which is your idea?
Excuse me?
The spiritual lesson, you don't know.
Spiritual?
Spiritual lesson.
Lust.
Dashan.
Spiritual lust.
Lust.
So what is the meaning of
that? Well, when you lust, what is it? No. Huh? Oh, okay. We didn't want to identify Shlok Shiva like us, so that's why I said spiritual lust. I don't know if it's used in the books. But what I meant is obviously his attraction. I mean, he was so covered up. He was in front of poverty, and he's looking at this woman playing ball, and all the bodies going up and down, and he's thinking, wow. And he's running around. He's losing semen. He's not covered. He's in front of all the sages, and he doesn't care. So it looks like us, but it's not us, because he's running after Mohini Murti, and no material woman could disturb him that much. So I use the term spiritual lust in the sense that It's not like us, it's not our lust. He was attracted spiritually by that form, but it seemed externally that it was a material moment. That's why I used it.
Love?
Yeah, obviously when love gets degraded by the modes of material nature, it becomes lust. We're trying to return lust into love. But what I'm saying is the moment of Lord Shiva, if you see it from a materialistic point of view, it seems that he's very attached to woman. But Lord Shiva is not attached. Krishna wanted to show also that such a great sadhu, saint, could also be attracted by Maya, although it was Yoga Maya, not Mama. Mataji at the back wants to know. These things are very important. We have to be thoughtful in Krishna consciousness, because you go on for 20, 30, 40 years and you see, I'm looking after so many years, I should be much more advanced than I am today. But that's because I'm still in a sleeping state. I remember when in the 80s when we didn't ask questions, then people would say, you were like a sleeping, what did they say? It's like being sleeping in the class, it's a sleeping person because we're not asking questions. But that's what we do, we're not aware, we're not conscious. And this is how Maya and the mind keeps us down. We're not conscious. And after so many years, we're chanting Hare Krishna and nothing's happening. Because we're still keeping this thing and not being unconscious. Yes, Mata.
Thank you. My question is also related to just a previous question, but you've already elaborated on it. But I have a question which is outside of the context of today's class, which I will ask if
you know the questions. Okay, ask. I don't know. Any other questions?
Okay, thank you. I have a very understanding question about it's a doubt that Lord Krishna says that he expands as Lord Balaram, and then he also expands as Radharani, whose pleasure oversees manifestation is Shri Radharani. So there's Krishna, he expands as Balaram and as Radharani. So this doubt. Does that mean that there was a time when there was only Krishna and he was alone and there was no Balaram and no Radha?
I wasn't there, I'm not sure. Can you explain? Krishna becomes one, he becomes two again. And I don't know. I never read, so you want to explain? Maharaj, any comments on this one? Her question is, was there a time Krishna was alone? I don't think Krishna was never alone. Krishna is always having spiritual dates. Imagine you have your kid, you don't have to arrange dates for him, he makes his own dates. He creates his own people, he creates his own fun. So Krishna has to be with people all the time. But I wasn't there, so I'm not sure. You want to explain this? Prabhu wants to... maybe Prabhupada said, you want to give the mic to Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu.
Very wonderful class. It was very, very informative and very, very well delivered. You were making the point that we are still asleep and we are awakening to full Krishna consciousness.
Not you, me.
This question that Jamuna Mataji asked is a question by a person who is like all of us, like most of us, you and me, still partially asleep. Because in material consciousness to material thinking, there must be a time before something began.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Something began 2 minutes before, 5 minutes before, 5 days before, there was a pre-existence. So that is the nature of the question. Because it's a linear way of thinking of how we experience everything. We experience past, present, future will come through our senses. So we're thinking from this level of consciousness, it must be like this in the material, in the spiritual world. So what happened before Krishna expanded into Balaram, before he expanded into... But we can understand that it was always there. Krishna always had his pleasure potencies, but it's very, very difficult to understand when it doesn't make any sense when you hear consciousness. And there's a lot of things that don't make sense from material consciousness. One time I was on a walk with Srila Prabhupada going down the Jatikara Road before. or if we take the Bhaktivedanta road, and one visiting sannyasi from the United States, he had come, and after some time on the walk, Prabhupada acknowledged him. Why have you come? What is it? So he pulled out of his bag a National Geographic magazine, and it folded, it was a centerfold, and folded into 6 or 8 pieces. It was a big folder, and he showed it to Srila Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada, the scientists, they are saying that our next big project is to unravel the DNA, to understand the chromosomes in a living person's body. And he said, when we do this, we will identify the part of the DNA which chromosome gives rise to people thinking they are having a religious experience. We will be able to identify what in a person's cells in their body makes them think of religious things. He said, Srila Prabhupada, how should we deal with people who are saying this? So Srila Prabhupada, he was chanting on his big side, he was familiar, so he just chanted, and he turned to him and he said, what does it matter what the scientist said? For what can we understand of Krishna's creation with a pea-sized brain? So since I heard Srila Prabhupada say that, I immediately identified, and ever since to this day, that I have a pea-sized brain. It's not everything I can understand. I can't understand from my conditioned state what is eternity. How does something go on forever and ever? One comedian, he said, eternity is a very long time, especially the part at the end. So it's just very, very, how can we understand things? We can have an intellectual understanding, but for Krishna, his potencies have always been there. He doesn't exist on his own. And that's hard to understand, but this is something we must accept with our pea-sized brain until by the water of devotion, the pea sprouts, and then we can understand more things. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Any other question, Maharaj? You want to say something? Radhagaman Maharaj? Something? Any other questions? You know the camel is eating the thorn, and the camel's thinking is very tasty. He's drinking his own blood. So we have this kind of vision. We see up and down, and we say, it's okay. You know, you're suffering. It's okay. It's not that bad. This is the unconscious part. I'm not enjoying that much, but it's worth it. It's very, very subtle. It's impersonalism. It's not just Mayavadi. It's how we deal with people, how we relate with things. Personal, because when it becomes personal, you become Krishna conscious. Because you see things as they are. It's this impersonalism is destroying us. And that's what Prabhupada came to destroy. This false conception of... Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.